Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Indiana singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer has released 20 albums nationally throughout her decorated recording career. The Boston Globe referred to her as a prairie mystic. She received an Emmy for her PBS special, An Evening with Carrie Newcomer. Carrie joins us for this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about her long career as a writer, a recording artist, and her new album, A Great Wild Mercy. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time out of your day. I know you've got a pretty busy schedule, and so I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Well, thank you. Yes, the new album, A Great Wild Mercy, is out in the world, and yes, I'll be doing quite a bit of touring.
Yeah, and this is number 20, is that right, for you, albums?
Yes, it is.
Wow, so congratulations. That's cool.
Thank you. I'm kind of prolific, I guess.
you are certainly work very hard at it, and it's paid off, and so that's awesome.
Well, and I'm really grateful, and that I get to do this thing I love.
Yeah,
and continue to put out albums, and 20 albums in. You know, it feels really wonderful. This I'm really excited about this new one, and I feel like it pushed a lot of growing edges, and I love the musicians who worked on this project. So it's fun. Really fun.
That's cool. You are based in Indiana, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Bloomington, Indiana. In the southern hilly part of the state, and there's a big music school, so lots of musicians in this area.
Has that been home for you, that part of the country or that state, your whole life?
It has, a little jaunt out, but I'm really based from here and kind of grew up in Indiana, but closer to Chicago.
Okay.
Now I'm kind of down in the more southern part.
Did you grow up around music? Did you have a musical family? What was the influence for you that got you started on your musical journey?
I didn't really come from a musical family, but I grew up in a little town. It was a little factory town in northern Indiana where a lot of the band instrument factories were located at that time. Selmer, Kahn, Armstrong, they were all there. Mm. So because of that, the public school system in this little town had a fabulous music program and lots of really good instruments.
Yeah.
So I encountered music through the American public school system. So I'm a huge proponent
of
arts and schools. But it's definitely one of those things that I've always leaned into, to music, to poetry, to story. just, you know, creative endeavors. But yeah, that's how I encountered music.
Did you pursue that further education in music after high school? When did the career piece for you become clear?
Well, you know, I picked up the guitar when I was a teen and learned my first three chords and started writing songs.
Yeah.
And you know, I did a lot of that kind of, you know, I was playing in the border bars in Michigan when I was a teenager. But, you know, I didn't go to school for music. I think at that point in my life, I wasn't ready to risk the thing I loved the most. Because sometimes you have to get ready to risk what you love the most. So I went to school for visual arts.
Okay.
Because I'm chalking up all the safe and secure professions you could have. Yeah. You know, like visual arts, you know, singer-songwriter folks that, yeah, check.
Yeah.
But I got through school doing all the odd jobs you do in school. But I got through school playing music in, you know, coffee houses and bars and bowling alleys. And I played everywhere. I think I played garage sales. I mean,
you know? That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, I think I played everywhere. But, you know, I loved it. And when I finished and I graduated, it was really music that was calling me. And so I was ready to take the risk with that thing I loved the most. And I've been following it ever since.
And if I'm kind of looking at reading liner notes and some stories about your career, it seems like you kind of have a theme. If from the outside looking in, I know that you have a lot of causes and things like that that's personal to you. Is there a time that you recall your musical identity, your personality began to take shape, and you sort of knew what you would be writing about and the things that would matter?
Well, you know, I think that's an evolving story. And because, you know, I don't think I've ever written a song because I had an answer. I've always written songs because I had a question. And often I don't really know exactly what an album's all about. I have a sense of it, of course. I don't really know until retrospect, like, oh, I was writing myself into my next becoming, you know? So
interesting.
So that's how it usually works for me. But, you know, I think there was a point in my career where I gave myself permission to do a couple things. And one was to sound like a Hoosier. You know, I have a very Midwestern voice, and I'm never going to sound and write like someone who grew up on the island of Manhattan, you know? Uh-huh. And that's fine, because there's a lot of people to do that. They don't really need me to do that. My most powerful voice, my most potent voice, would always be my truest voice. And that something happens when you hear a song. You know, we know it when a song is just cantoting it, and we know it when a song is just shock value. But when we feel a song has put its finger on the open palm of something true, it shakes the world just a little bit, a little bit. And, you know, why would I ever want to write any other way? I mean, why would I want to live any other way?
So
I gave myself permission, you know, at a certain point. And also, I think, you know, just this idea, I write songs, but I write songs about something. There are topics that continue to call me and pull me in and fascinate me. And some of those topics do show up on this new album. You know, it's called A Great Wild Mercy. And I think a lot of this album is about holding the tension of, you know, two things happening at the same time. You know, I say in the song, there's news of the world and there's news of the heart. And the news of the world will tell you to be afraid, be very afraid, then be enraged, and then be afraid, you know?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the commercial media coming at us.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also news of the heart. And if you ask a person, do you know anyone personally who is generous of spirit? Who, you know, if you need someone, you know, to borrow their truck. They will always be there. Yes. who will reach across all kinds of dividing lines, you know, for love, for family, for the food bank, you know, for whatever it is. Most people will tell you, I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
I'm like that.
Yeah.
That's the news of the heart.
And so,
you know, a lot of this album is holding that creative tension of, yes, we're living in really challenging times. And in A Great Wild Mercy, I say, I'm tired of the rage. I'm tired of the worry. I am ready for a great wild mercy.
Mm.
And this idea that there is still this thread of decency and goodness, the news of the heart that still is here and operates in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so there's a lot of this album that is engaging with questions and ideas that have fascinated me for a while. Start with a stone. It's like, it's really about getting down to basics. You know, where am I in this moment? So, I can get lost in 2 days down the, you know, down the road, but to start right here, right where I am, you know, and that we have tremendous power in how we choose to live our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the news of the world too, that what can one person do? And I really believe that we have tremendous power in just how we live our lives.
Yeah.
And it shifts, you know, going back to the song idea, it shifts something just a little bit every time we're true, every time we live into the moment. So again, like I said, there's not a lot of candy coating on this album, but at the same time, there is this idea of what is it that still threads through our lives that we can hold on to with a certain kind of yes. Yeah, I can step forward with this.
How long had you been writing the songs for this project prior to going into the studio? Did you sit down to write this album, like we kind of talked about earlier, or were these a collection of songs out of present times?
Yes, my last album came out 2 years ago, and so everything has been written since then. So in the last couple of years, there's three co-written songs on this album. One with Siri Unling, who's the writer for Humbird, just a wonderful new young writer, and John McCutcheon.
Sure.
Wrote a couple songs with John, and who is, you know, kind of a songwriter. So it was fun doing some collaborative songs this time, and most of them, all of them have been in the last couple of years, but several in the 6 months before I went in the studio.
Do you have a process that you enter into when you want to write? Do you have a writing habit? How does that work for you? It seems to be so different for everybody.
Oh yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, you ask seven songwriters how they do it, you'll get 11 answers.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I love that. You know,
it's unfortunate, I guess, for the aspiring songwriter. Because you get those 11 answers, like, I'm not sure that helped. Because it seems like there's a bigger spirit behind the art of writing songs.
I think, you know, my process, it's very language based, and so I do a lot of writing before I write the song. I write poetry. I have three collections of poetry that are out in published in the world, and write essays and short stories, and a lot of my songs grow out of those writings. You know, you know, sometimes a poem is a poem, but sometimes a poem is the seed that becomes a song. So for me, a lot of times it will start with, you know, just exploring a topic through writing, and then I pick up my guitar and I the music and the language start to happen together.
Okay.
But, you know, but I know fabulous songwriters who start music first always.
Yeah.
And I know music, you know, fabulous songwriters who write straight lyrics just out and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's
a lot of ways people do it. I think, you know, I do teach songwriting workshops sometimes, and it's really finding what your personal rhythm, what really, you know, what gets your, you know, creative thought really going, and then following that thread, because, you know, how another person does it may not be the best way for you to do it.
When you write other than songs, you mentioned poetry, and I think if I read right, you've done some other writings, editorial style writings or blog mm-hmm. style writings. Do you, is that process kind of the same? It sounds like there's almost a state of mind that comes to you when you begin to write.
Yeah, I mean, it overlaps. You know, poetry is different than lyric writing. Mm-hmm. You know, they share a lot of the same tools, but they are different animals. But yeah, there's a lot of the same process. I do have a Substack page now that a lot of writers are doing newsletters. It's almost like a little online magazine, and that's been a great experience. It was a new thing this year for me, and it's been a great experience to really dive into my prose a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm posting poetry and prose, and then, but also new songs, you know, demos and videos and things that are happening musically. I do love all these other kinds of forms of writing, and it's part of my process, but I always come back to songwriting. There is something about that format that always, you know, gets right to the heart and I think it's that combination.
Mm-hmm.
When you have language, which is so powerful,
mm-hmm.
and poetic language, which means you can point towards something that's more than even what you say. Storytelling, I mean, so powerful. And yet you also have music,
mm-hmm.
and everything that your language is doing is completely entwined with what the music is doing. They back each other up in a way and enhance each other and create something very different. You know, sometimes people will take lyrics and read them without the music. And I always think of that as it's a little bit like, you know, reading a novel and taking out, you know, all the verbs.
I understand.
So yeah, I love all these different kinds of writing, and I'm super enjoying my Substack page these days. But it's always music. It's always songs that call me back.
Yeah, that's cool. And the street date on this is like this week, right? The great Wild Mercy.
Yeah.
Friday, is that right? 13th, is that
yes.
the okay?
October 13th. We have three singles. Three singles are already out, and so you can already hear three singles on streaming platforms, wherever you stream. But the full album drops on this Friday, so that's very exciting.
And I think you mentioned earlier some touring. What does it look like for you to take this album to your fan base?
Oh, it's so joyous. I mean, it's really, like I said, I'm very excited about this album.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular tour is really diverse. You know, I have shows that I'm doing with a string quartet.
Mm.
I'm doing several, you know, many shows. I go out often as a duo with my pianist. Some shows that are a trio that I'm working with a wonderful fiddler for years. So there's a lot of different contexts that this music is coming into the world with this tour. And you know, that's really fun too. I do want to lift up just, you know, the other musicians on this album, because,
sure.
you know, credit where credit's due. And I loved the interaction of musicians. My longtime pianist that I've worked with for many years, Gary Walters, is on this project, of course. But also the members of Hawktail, Paul Cowart, also who's in the Punch Brothers, bassist, and Brittany Haas on violin and mandolin, and Jordan Tice playing all kinds of guitar and string work. Jim Brock doing percussion and all the drumming on this. So it was really an incredible combination of people in terms of what people creatively brought to the process. We were at this artist retreat, so we kind of like went to camp together.
That's cool. That's neat.
I have the studio where I record is also an artist retreat with all these little cottages in this really beautiful area of southern Indiana. So music camp.
Will you get to take, while you're on tour, will you get to do some full band shows?
I don't have any with, you know, like your basic, you know, bass drums, you know, the more standard configuration of band.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any really lined up for this, at least in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, you know, there's a lot of string work on this album, so the string quartet stuff really makes sense. But I also love the intimacy of going out as a duo.
Yeah.
I always, you know, like I said, as you can probably tell, I'm a creatively restless person. So let's do something fun and creative, and let's put a growing edge here and do a whole lot more work than a human being should probably do.
Yeah. will you be mostly regional? Will this be a national tour?
It's a national tour. I'm not doing this one internationally, but this one will be kind of all over the country.
And I assume that your dates are on your website. People can find out where to find you.
Yes, they can go to my website, which is just carrienewcomer.com, or check out my Substack page. It's all there too. So, would love to see folks at a show, and I'm just really, like I said, I'm really happy. It's joyous to take this one on the road.
That's cool. I can hear it. So congratulations. That's so cool. I love the music, and I certainly wish you well with this album. And we appreciate you taking the time to share your insight with our listeners. It's always nice to hear what goes on behind the finished product. So I appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And, just really appreciated talking to you today. And you asked great questions.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.